Good evening. Welcome to the Solari Report. Today is May 21st, 2015. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Our theme tonight is Making a Difference Down Under. I've been in Australia now for a little bit more than a week. I spoke to you last week from the Australian Outback, and check out the commentary stories from Uluru, which describes my time in the Outback. Very interesting. And if you don't have that on your bucket list, you definitely want to add it. I've been in Sydney last Sunday. We returned from Uluru then, and I've now had about 5 days to spend in and around the city. That week has all been spent with people who are building businesses, doing deals, excited about the future. Our second quarter wrap-up theme is infrastructure, and you see China and Asia planning to invest a lot of money in infrastructure along the Silk Road, and I think that's part of what's contributing to a focus on building the future. Today was just an absolutely perfect autumn day. Sydney is on the ocean, so it's quite lovely on the eastern side, southern side of Australia. In New South Wales, which is one of the states. Winter starts in June, so just a perfect autumn day. And I spent the day at the Sydney Opera House with for the TEDx Sydney. It was the first. I've watched many TED speeches and put many on the blog, but it's the first time I've attended one in person. See the links on the blog if you're interested. Despite the fall in commodity prices, which I had expected to have a rougher impact on the Australian economy, which is so dependent on supplying natural resources that feed Asia. But the economy here is still quite strong. And what's most noticeable is how happy people really are. One of the reasons I wanted to leave the States and get out and about both in Europe and Asia this year was continual reports from clients and subscribers in Europe and Asia on how much more free and happy people feel relative to America. And I wanted to see it for myself, and I concur. It certainly is here. Australia's landmass is almost as large as America and China, although there's less arable land. And it's kind of, whereas America has 325 million people and China has 1.4, Australia's got a population of 25 million, so there's lots of room to spread your rings. A lot of the population, 4 million of that 25 million, live in the Sydney area. The property market has been quite strong, immigration quite strong. So it's easy to see why the city is very beautiful and certainly bustling. Feels a little bit like San Francisco with a tropical flair and a more cosmopolitan population, although certainly San Francisco's plenty cosmopolitan. One of the Australian subscribers keeps referring to Australia as the island fortress, and it's true that Australia has long supply lines, but needless to say, there's an enormous sense of security down under, and that includes a lot of the tensions that are in the northern hemisphere, so if they go at each other, the theory is you're safe down here. I'm flying to New Zealand tomorrow. I'll be in Auckland in the northern part of New Zealand, then down to Wellington, which is the capital. And then I'm also going to get to visit Nelson on the South Island. I've been in New Zealand twice, but I've never been to South Island. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm speaking on Saturday at the University of Auckland Business School on the global rebalancing. And then I'll be speaking in Sydney on June 2nd on planet debt and the global rebalancing. So if you or friends are in those areas, please come out and let everyone know. You can find the links on our website. Money and markets. I think two very big stories, and I want to focus on them tonight. The Trans-Pacific Partnership. Attorney Carolyn Betts did a wonderful introduction and overview. I strongly recommend it. You have to log in to see it. And it's extremely important that we have sufficient information to understand and analyze. We don't, but certainly we've sort of organized what we do know that's there. And I think it's a great general introduction to get you going with lots of great links if you want more. I think part of the reason that the president is pushing this as hard as he is the U.S. economy is slow, slow, slow. And the competition, obviously, with Asia is growing, growing, growing. Expect this to be quite a fractious thing. If they don't get this done before an election year, it's hard to imagine how they're going to pass it in an election year. So Trans-Pacific Partnership, very, very important process. It could change all of our lives. And unfortunately, we don't have sufficient information to begin to analyze thoroughly how that might be. The other big story, probably even a bigger story, is the turn in the bond market. I'm going to be interviewing Don Cox tomorrow, and that interview will go up in 2 weeks. And we'll be talking a lot about that. And many of the stories you see in the financial markets are really parts of that big story. Again, the interest rates have been coming down since 1980, and the bond market's been growing. In the first quarter wrap-up, Planet Debt, we talk about the really continued extraordinary increases in debt globally. And for decades, we've been increasing the debt and liabilities in government and moving assets to corporations. And at some point, we've just about sort of that game is coming to an end. There are different ways to look at it. One is interest rates. Don has written a wonderful new report on negative interest rates, so we'll be talking about that. But another crosscut of this is credit issues, and we start to see the real popping of credit issues over the last week. Greece, obviously the question is how are they going to proceed and how are those negotiations going to proceed? So is Greece going to leave the euro? How's all that going to play out? And we continue to watch. But big news story, one of the rating agencies, Moody's Investor Service, has lowered Chicago's bonds to junk status. S&P has continued to maintain an investment grade rating, but Moody's has dropped it. And that's a big one, because if you start to see major U.S. cities shut out of the financial markets, and Chicago won't be shut out yet, but we're certainly on the way. And part of the Chicago issue, of course, is the pension funds. The Fed minutes recently published showed that in the April meeting, the governors clearly believed that June was too early to raise interest rates, and that was because the economy was disappointing. They also clearly believed to see or expect to see a pickup in the economy after the first quarter into the second quarter. It's not clear to me that they're going to get that. If anything, the current reports indicate that things continue to slow down. And of course, we're coming into summer. So whether or not we get the September interest rate hike, who knows? So let's look at a roundup of markets for year to date. 2015 year to date, the S&P is now up 3.25%. It keeps setting new records by tiny amounts. It's beginning to look like the tiny inch up, just to support the headline that you hit a new all-time high. Gold now up 2.2% for the year. Silver's having a little bit of a better time. It ran up and now is backing off. Gold now down 4%, but that's an improvement certainly from last year. German DAX is now up 20%, backed off from about 30, and the Chinese large caps the same 20%. So Germany and China continues to lead the way. The developed world minus the U.S. is now up 12% for the year. So very, very, doing very well. Emerging markets up 8.8%. So as I've said before, who would have ever thought the emerging markets would significantly outperform the U.S. this year? But again, for the U.S. to run that bear trap, they'd have to raise interest rates. And right now, if they do, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. The bond market looks very weak. The corporate aggregate bond down 0.5% for the year. TLT down almost 6%. But it looks like we may sort of get a turn at this point. The drop may have bottomed in fixed income. But I think it's, again, every sign indicates that the turn in the bond market finally is here. Our hero this week, interestingly enough, is Canadian student Raymond Wang, 17 years old. The article's up on the site. He won the world's largest high school science competition on Friday with a prize of $75,000 for inventing a new way to keep germs from spreading in airplane cabins. It's one of the things I love about providing kids with technology to access all the information in the world is it's amazing what they can invent, you know, problems that adults haven't been able to figure out. And I assure you some of a lot of engineering talent has looked at the issue of how to keep germs from spreading in airlines cabins. So very interesting. But I wanted to give a runner-up to a woman in Kansas City, a Kansas City woman, Maria, I think the pronunciation is Mahia, who was literally tortured by one of the debt servicers, Portfolio Recovery Associates, who pursued a $1,000 credit card bill she didn't owe. The jury was so outraged, it gave her an $83 million award in punitive damages. I suspect that that reflects the fury in the general population over the debt entrapment model. So, Maria, you deserve every penny. You go, girl. And my compliments to the jury and the judge. Ask Catherine, we have two questions. I'm going to read part of them. One says, well, let's start with this one. Where might a 63-year-old married to a recently reemployed 64-year-old go for financial advice when there are no finances other than debt? The good news is we're living an inspired life. We're educating ourselves thanks to you, Richard Dolan, and Joseph Farrell's websites and texts. We talk about how to live freely and fearlessly in the face of overwhelming negative reality of the world in which we live. We take small steps every day. Good. Just keep taking those small steps. If you haven't seen the article I wrote on turtling, take a look at that. But it's all about turtling. My employer is offering a lump sum amount to retire. If I took that plus my pension in a lump sum, we could pay off our home equity loan and credit cards run up during medical treatment, leaving just our mortgage. It's a dismal view for a 63-year-old person, but I know creativity trumps all. Couldn't agree more. One thing, I'm not an expert on renegotiating deals with credit cards, but there are people who are expert at it, and it's sometimes done if, I don't know what the particulars of the credit card situation is, but if you you call them and offer that you'll pay everything off, ba-boom, sometimes you can renegotiate and get a discount. So that's something to consider. You know, there are pros and cons. You want to make sure you leave yourself a rainy day fund, so you don't want to wipe out all your liquidity. But if you can extinguish and get your debt down to just your mortgage, anything you can do that, I think is a good idea. I do think it's very important if you're in this kind of situation that you really focus on health and sort of building up your immune system, reducing toxicity. We have a lot of good things in the archive that can be helpful, because what you need to do is have lots of energy and be strong so you can keep on working. Take take a look at the sharing economy. Look at Airbnb, Uber. I don't know where you live or what your house situation is, but there are lots of different things in the sharing economy you can do to generate incremental income, and of course do more things for yourself. But whatever you do, please don't save money by eating cheap food. You really want to focus on protecting your health and protecting yourself from the environmental pollution. Another question, you mentioned Bitcoin on your site. Their site appears non-functional, and there is no email response from them. I don't remember the reference. We may have linked to an article. Certainly, I was not trying to recommend any provider of Bitcoin. I assure you, I've never bought or owned Bitcoin and have no intention to do so. When people ask me if they should, I say if you're interested in learning about digital currencies, go ahead, but consider this very risky. Anyway, so In no way was I trying to recommend any particular site. I did check the site, and it did appear to me to be functional. Dear Catherine, I wanted to pass along the shocking news about Bayer intentionally selling products they knew were contaminated with HIV, which led to people contracting both HIV and AIDS. The news comes from the U.S. government's own National Institute of Health website. Thank you for that. I posted that article. Quite gruesome. I read the following article telling us if we make cash illegal, we will end all of the boom and bust cycles. That is such rubbish. I'm sure it's just another stupid rationale for wanting to move to cashless, but no, it won't end all the boom and bust cycles. It'll just give more power to the folks who engineer the boom and bust cycles. With this movement we're now seeing towards implementing a cashless society, do you see this as a potential threat to the value of precious metals? The retail price of precious metals can be highly rigged. There's no way to tell. It depends on where the riggers want to go with it. I'm assuming they want to keep the price down for now. But it certainly impacts the liquidity and usability of precious metals. So, the more totalitarian the system, the more values get squeezed out of everything, including precious metals. Okay, two questions now. One asks about an article about the IMF, which comes from one of the Stanberry Research products. And then the second question comes from somebody who's very worried about collapse and the integrity of the financial system and reads Jim Rickards. So here's what you guys need to know. There are all sorts of sources. Stanberry Research is one of them. Jim Rickards is another. I call them fear porn. Their business is marketing fear. And certainly there's plenty to be afraid about. I mean, you've got a leadership group that is acting above the law and trying to centralize all sorts of control. So there's plenty of risk in the environment, but you've got to stay away from fear porn, particularly because a lot of it comes with entrainment technology. So, and the reality is whatever is going on and whatever the risks are, you need to focus on building the positive for you and those around you. You need to focus on doing whatever you can do to be useful. There are many, many different important things to do in this world. And frankly, the way things are going to change is the more of 7 billion people who get up in the morning and say, we're having nothing to do with, you folks, and we're going to go off and get something positive done, the more this thing shifts. So for heaven's sakes, stay away from the fear porn. It's not worth your time and money, in my opinion. Let's go to the movies. I wanted to, for a long time, I've been trying to understand the Hadron Collider in Switzerland. And so I recommended a documentary, Particle Fever, that gives you a sense of the project and some of the people working on it. It's very interesting. One of the things I hope to do is get Farrell to engage in a conversation. There's an enormous amount of theories about what the collider is really about, and who knows. I do think, to me, there's nothing more important on this planet than doing fundamental research into how the world works. So I think fundamental research into physics of this kind is extremely important. Anyway, I recommend it to you. It's a fascinating look at a very important project going on in this world. Our interview this week is with James Turk, who's a longtime colleague and associate of mine. Believe it or not, when I was coming out of Wharton and I interviewed for the summer with Chase Manhattan Bank, it was James Turk who interviewed me. It's pretty interesting. That's an oldie but goodie. We talk about a lot of important issues, including the turn in the bond market and sort of what's going on in the economy. And James just has a remarkable overview and mastery of all the issues, of course, running gold money and operating in an international level as he has for almost his entire career. So I recommend it to you. It's always a pleasure to talk with him. Okay, well, that's it in closing. I'm headed out to New Zealand tomorrow after interviewing Don Cox, who will be who will publish on June 4th. Next week is Memorial Day weekend, and so if I don't talk to you before then, I wish you a very happy Memorial Day weekend. And, of course, no money in markets next week. Our interview next week is with Mark Dancy. We've gotten a lot of requests from entrepreneurs saying, how do you launch a breakthrough product? And obviously, that's a very intense and complex subject, but Mark was in the Philippines, so the recording quality is not the best, but he's a remarkable entrepreneur, and he's dealt with a lot of breakthrough, both renewable energy and energy technology, as well as other breakthrough technologies, not necessarily in the energy area. So we're calling it Creative Destruction, Launching a Breakthrough Product. And then the meaning of negative interest rates with Don Cox, a lot on the turn in the bond market, which is, every signal says it's finally here. So until June 4th, when I talk with you again, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.